Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, please. I just want to challenge you a little bit about the Christmas story, and let's read the account, especially of the wise men tonight. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word that again that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." I want to speak to you very briefly tonight, just about the star of hope. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time of year. I want to thank you for what it means to us, what it signifies to us. I want to thank you that so long ago, this star shone in the sky and it brought hope to everyone that was waiting for your coming. And I want to thank you that it gives us hope today to know that, first of all, you still save. You're the Redeemer. You're the Savior. But also to know that you're coming again. And that gives us great hope. And we worship you tonight. And we want to learn of you and be like you. And we certainly want to keep the true meaning of Christmas a priority in our family and in our ministry. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Christmas decorations are a big deal. I'm told, according to some retail sites, that Americans spend $8 billion a year on decorations. Now, that seems excessive to me, but I would imagine it could be quite possible. But Christmas decorations have always included stars. I'm kind of curious, how many of you have a star on top of your Christmas tree? How many of you have a star? All right, that seems like a lot of you. That seems like the majority. I'm told that the most popular topper is an angel, but I would think it's a star more than anything, and your hands seem to signify that. The star points to the story of the wise men and that star that led them. The Bible repeatedly turns man's eyes toward the heavens. Think about it in the Bible. Remember Psalm 19, very famous verse. It says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." And so the heavens are always pointing to God. They're always pointing to the glory of God. They're signifying God. I love that. The heavens declare the glory of God. Think about it. The language of the heavens knows no boundaries. It stretches all over this globe. And I want you to think about it. The heavens don't necessarily speak English or German or French, but they do speak to all Englishmen, all Germans, and all Frenchmen. It speaks to every one of us. And the Bible tells us about that. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You even think about it, when the Old Testament ends, it has a reference to the heavens. It says that we are supposed to look to the heavens for hope. That's what the Old Testament says. In Malachi 4 and verse 2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness," and it spells it S-U-N, "the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in its wings." And basically the message there that Malachi is giving them is watch for the sunrise of the new day. He knows that the sun has set on Israel at that point. It's 400 years of silence, really we could say darkness. But yet the prophet says, look, you need to watch for the sun to rise because it's going to bring a hope. It's going to bring a dawn of a new day. And in fact, that's great because the way it ends even further in Malachi 4 and verse 6, it says, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And so it was good that he gave them this hope. And for nearly 400 years, there was darkness and an anxious silence. There was no conclusion. There was no solution for sin and sorrow and suffering. But then one day, we read here in this book, in Matthew chapter 2, that a star appeared to some men traveling in the east. And the joy of seeing this star just overwhelmed them. This is it. This is the hope. This is what we've been looking for. And the joy of seeing this star, it kind of reminds us of the Christmas season. It's kind of the joy of seeing maybe a car or a plane that carries your loved ones. That's what Christmas is. The last week, and in particular in our ministry, a lot of you were traveling. You were seeing family, spending time together. Some college students were coming home. Some of you might be traveling just yet. I think of the joy, especially of grandparents, as they see a vehicle pull in the driveway or a plane land, and they're filled with anticipation of getting together with someone they love. Well, this star signified to these men hope had come to the earth. Somebody said this: the Old Testament is expectation, and the New Testament is realization. And I think that's many ways true. The Old Testament speaks of great prophecies of a Savior that would come. And so there's expectation. But the New Testament actually speaks of the fact that that has happened. And that brings the realization. And I'm glad that we have a hope, because we are living in a postmodern society where evolution has told us that there's no meaning, there's no purpose, there's no direction. And when you have no meaning, no purpose, and no direction, guess what? You have no hope. But the star shows us that there is hope. And I say to you that we still, even though it's a postmodern world, we're living in a world that, just like their day, is longing for hope. They're longing for hope. And I'm glad we have it. I want to give you tonight, just very briefly, two rays of hope that shone from this star. Number one, when they saw that star, they realized that darkness would not win. You know, for 400 years, God's people had been in the dark. You say, what do you mean? There was no prophet, no prophecy, no message. God had been silent for 400 years. Now, I want you to imagine that. Israel had always known God being with them, speaking with them, talking to them. Whether it was a rebuke and correction, whether it was encouragement and help, God had spoke to them. But now, all of a sudden, God, he lays off, and for 400, that's much longer than the existence of the United States of America. God didn't say anything. No prophet, no prophecy, no revelation, no word. God's people had been in the dark. We know that in the Bible, darkness is often associated with sinfulness. John chapter 3 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. When we do that, when you turn the lights on, when it's dark and you've been sleeping, it's a real irritant. So in just a moment, when we turn the lights back on, some of you who have fallen asleep, those lights will jar you awake, and you'll say, what's going on? And it'll bother you, you know. We know that. When the blinds are pulled open, the curtains are revealed, that bright light. And I'll tell you, when the light of the truth of the gospel shines on many, it's offensive, it's bothersome. But I'll tell you, some welcome it. The light is now shining. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I lived in southwest Ohio, right on the border of Kentucky, and most of my family's from Kentucky. And it was a thing that you could go down to Mammoth Cave. And I imagine how many have been to Mammoth Cave before? All right, quite a few of you have. And it's a very large cave there, and you can go down in it, and there's a little segment where they'll get you down in the heart of this cave. And when they get you down there, they'll completely turn the lights off. And I'm talking about it is utter darkness. It make you think for a moment of hell, where there's just utter darkness. I mean, there is no light. And I'm telling you, it's an eerie feeling for a little while. But I'll tell you, I have a little watch here, and you, just like your watch might have some glowing parts to it. It gets a little light there, and it just illuminates and glows. And I'll tell you right now, you wouldn't think much of it. It's glowing, but you can't tell. And if they turn the lights off in this room, you'd see a little bit of illumination. But I'm telling you, when it's pitch black like that, when it is utter darkness, the slightest bit of light illuminates something. And here you had in the canvas of the darkness of Israel and the world, this star shone. And like a ray of light shining in a cave, man has hope that sin won't win. Listen, I just want to remind everybody, I think sometimes we recognize the shift of change in our culture. And in many ways, it's not for the good. And I know sometimes as a preacher, I think it's our responsibility to talk about these things, to expose these things, to confront the evils and ills of our culture and our society. But I think sometimes we are overcome with discouragement sometimes, and we think, man, it doesn't matter who gets elected. Things aren't going to get any better. It doesn't matter what law is passed and what Supreme Court decision is made. Sometimes I think it's easy just to say, no, it's as bad, and it's always going to be bad, and it's only going to get worse. But listen to me. As dark as it gets, look up in the sky and think that there was a star. And that star shone in the darkest of times. And it reminded us then, and it reminds us now, darkness will not prevail. You know, a minute ago we were singing, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. We had a little glitch in the screen up there. And Brother Mark said, well, you know, do we know that one? I don't know if he heard me behind him. I said, we cannot stop on that third verse. I mean, the third verse is, man, everything's terrible and it's always going to be bad and dark. And the rest of the poem goes on to say, then I heard the bells ringing more loud and clear. God is not dead and God doesn't sleep. Listen, look to the star and remember that. Number two, I want you to see this. It's also said, not only would darkness not win, but silence would be broken. You know, silence is a very awkward thing. You ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to say, and there was what we often refer to as awkward silence? You ever tried to carry on a conversation with somebody, and maybe that person didn't want to talk to you, and so you're trying really hard, but there's just this silence going on there? We don't always like silence. Think of Americans. We've got noise all the time. I mean, I can't tell you how many homes I've been in and people have their TV on. They're not even watching it. They just have it on and it's making noise. In fact, you're trying to talk to them and they don't even turn it down or turn it off. And it's just noise. And we have music in the restaurants and music in the stores and music in our cars and buds in our ears and all kinds of things creating a volume of noise. And I'm not speaking against that. I'm just saying we are not always comfortable with silence. In fact, those of you that have little kids, when things get quiet at your house, yeah, you're laughing because you know something bad is going down. The presence of this star spoke the message that the Messiah was here. You read that text, it says there that we, in verse 2, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They knew what that meant. You remember that old poem? I think everybody's learned it as a child and remembers it. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And we say that little poem and think about that. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. You know, people may wonder at that star, may wonder what exactly is that. But these men knew exactly whose it was. Oh, it's his star. We saw his star in the east. I like that. I saw his star in the east, and it's led us to worship him. You see, like this star, that star brought a message to those men. And like this star, we have a message to tell those that are in darkness. You say, well, there's a lot of people who don't listen to our message. I understand that. But friend, we are trying to shine the light to those who are still in darkness. This brought hope because it carried with it the message of salvation. What it was saying is this babe that was born will die for the sins of the world. And so at Christmas time, we often sing the old spiritual, go tell it on the mountain. What are we supposed to tell? Jesus Christ is born. He's the answer. He's the light in the darkness. And I'm thankful that the silence had been broken. And God, after many, many years of silence, said, I've got a message for you. The Redeemer and the Savior has come. So I want to ask you some questions tonight. Do you feel hopeless? You know, honestly, God's people should never feel hopeless. I think sometimes we struggle with it. We're studying the Psalms, and in many cases, David and the other psalmists would say, hopelessness has overtaken me. And I think sometimes we can feel hopeless. But I want to just tell you, if you will look there is a light that is shining. And if you look and you see that light that is shining, it will lead you to Him. My second question is this: are you lost in the darkness of your sins? As I look around tonight, I think I know just about everybody that's here. I hope that you have a testimony. I believe you have a testimony of being saved. If you don't know that you're saved, if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, friend, I want to tell you, please, please, whether people think you're saved or not, get that settled. Because we need not be lost in the darkness of our sins. And friend, if you have found salvation in Jesus Christ, remember that you hold a message of hope that others can be saved because a baby was born. And this baby lived a sinless life. This baby became a man who died on a cross and was buried in a tomb and rose again so that all men everywhere could be saved. Let's look to the star of hope this Christmas season. Let's thank God that He came. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And I'm so thankful for that.